Hello, and welcome to a new series of the Burning Issue podcast, where I, Luke Walsh, the editor of the news website endswasteandbioenergy.com, look at the waste sector and how we deal with refuse that cannot be recycled. As I've said in the past, I worked as a student dumping waste in a landfill site in Essex, more than 20 years ago now, and I'd look around that site and think, there must be something better than this. And there was. The solution was energy recovery domestically and export to markets with undercapacity. But where are we now, and what are the challenges going forward? Also, in 2023, after several years of falling levels, the UK experienced renewed growth in waste exports. But was this a blip? And will levels fall again this year as new capacity and taxes in many export markets come into force? To find out, I'm going to be talking to Oliver Korns, UK country manager for Geminor. Waste aggregator Geminor started in Norway, but it's active now all across Europe and is currently the UK's largest exporter of waste. Let's hear what Oliver has to say. Hello, Oliver, and thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. It's an honour, especially when you've had podcasts with people like Harriet Park and John Ahern. It's an honour.
Thank you. It's an honour to have you on. Looking at your background, you started out with Veolia before moving to FCC in the landfill sector, before getting into RDF as you are now. Do you feel perhaps your career has mirrored the transformation in the UK's waste processing going from landfill to RDF?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that it has. I've never thought about my career mirroring what's happening in the market. But yeah, predominantly we landfilled. We still landfill a lot, but predominantly we landfill in those days. And I remember when the concept of exporting RDF came up at one of the FCC conferences, I think, and they were talking about bailing it and sending it to the Netherlands at the time. I thought it was a crazy concept, but funnily enough, I sort of moved into that area myself when I was producing RDF for FCC out of the Heighton facility. And then the market was established, and it's now a good solution. So I guess you could say it's mirrored it.
What's kept you in the waste sector? Because you've been in it for a good 20 odd years.
It's always changing. There's always new challenges. It sounds a bit cliche, but it's quite topical. It can be quite political. The regulations change. It's quite innovative. It's a really interesting industry to be in. It's an unusual industry to be in. If you compare it to, I don't know, manufacturing, double glazing or something in which you go to work every day and it's the same kind of thing. I don't want to disrespect any double glazing manufacturers, but it's just very interesting and never settles. And I think that's good for your own development, but also really makes it really interesting.
Geminor is currently the UK's largest exporter of waste, but how did the company get to that position?
I think as a group, we've structured it in the right way, where we've had offices set up in each of the supply countries and each of the receiving countries, which gives us people of the culture and the language on the ground to talk to the customers, both on the supply and the receiving side. And that allows us to give a good service and react to issues. I think that's really helped our development. We probably got into the market at the right time as well as the UK was developing its own export routes. We got into it at the right time and have been quite a innovative and entrepreneurial company. And I think that has also enabled us to grow.
As we start a new year in 2024, what is Geminor doing to stay on top as other businesses in the sector also continue to grow?
That's a good question. It's always a challenge trying to be the lead player in the market that it's in. But for us, I think we need to continue to do what we're good at. We need to continue to be innovative. We need to continue to communicate well and work well with all of our customers. We still offer a valuable service to our customers. There's a lot around export that not necessarily all smaller or regional size businesses can do. So I think for us, we'd consolidate our position, continue to diversify into the UK market, which is what we've started to do over the last couple of years. And another part of our strategy is around investing in more of our own facilities. We have the Hull facility, which I think we'll probably talk about later. But as we invest in facilities, either in the supply or the receiving market, it just gives us a better position with the customers to offer different kinds of service, be it storage or processing. So that'll be our plan, just to continue to grow out and try and stay innovative and ahead of the game.
We'll certainly talk about the Hull facility and UK diversification in a bit. But if we could just stick with exports for a little bit, 2023 seems to have turned around UK exports and figures are up again after a few years of going down. Is this a blip or is there still growth in the market, even as the UK brings more treatment facilities into operation?
I think it's a bit of a blip, really, which would probably go against what, you know, we're about as a business. If you think about the things that led up to 2023, where you had a reduction in waste arisings post-COVID, there was also the Ukrainian war, which put a lot of pressure on the market in terms of supply. If you look at Finland, that used to be a supply country supplying RDF into Sweden, that market changed around and became an import country because it didn't have the same waste arisings. Those sort of factors have led to an increased need for supply. And they all sort of came together at the right or the worst time in 2023. A lot of stock was depleted. There was a big demand from Germany because their waste arisings were reduced. And the energy prices were up. So it was a combination of there being limited stock, increased demand, high energy prices, which sort of led to quite a surge in demand from the offtake countries through 2023. And I think that's probably settled down a bit. They've built their stocks back up. The energy sector is settling down a little bit. Germany seems to be in a bit more of an equilibrium. Yeah, 2023 is probably a bit of a blip, not a sign of growth to come.
Hopefully there's still more growth, but there's an area where there isn't growth, and that's probably the SRF market, I should say solid recovered fuel. Geminor was very interested in that market in the UK a few years ago, but as I said, it's fallen off a cliff somewhat. Will that come back, or is that not going to be a thing going forward for you?
Well, SRF is still an important part of our portfolio. We have some strategically important contracts with the likes of Aalborg, Portland. We still have capacity into Latvia and to Finland as well, which is a sort of resurging market for SRF demand. If you go back to the previous question around the reason for the RDF export growth, it's sort of linked to the reason for the SRF decline, and that's because the RDF prices went down because there's more demand in the market and the energy prices are going up. So because it was cheaper to export or get RDF recovered, SRF, which is a material that needs more processing and needs more cost, electricity cost, their costs were going up to produce SRF and the RDF costs were going down, which meant that a lot of suppliers then switched from SRF to RDF production. And I don't think the SRF market reacted in the same way or needed to compete with that. It naturally led to a bit of a reduction in SRF. We still have some quite strong SRF volumes going out of Ireland and parts of the UK, but it has, yes, declined a little bit for those reasons.
What about the imports side of it? Geminor chief executive Kjetil Vikingstad at a conference last year, he said he saw France as a potential supplier to the UK in the future, or perhaps even Spain, Italy and Poland. Could you ever see the UK as a waste import market?
Yeah, it's of course possible. It's just about economics, isn't it? If the price is low enough in the UK or the price is high enough in the supply country, then it's possible. We have recently established a France office this year. We plan to start export in 2024 from France, not to the UK, but to some of our other receiving countries. We supply from Italy into the Nordic market, could quite viably just go into the UK instead of going into Denmark or Sweden, and the same with Poland. So it is possible. I think the restricting factor at the moment, and clearly it's not happening, is the price. We're exporting ourselves, so there isn't necessarily the capacity. But if you take away the capacity issue, if we had a need, the price level would be too high in the current markets, but of course that could change.
UK-based businesses, most recently Infinium, have called for bans on UK exports of waste. Obviously, you don't agree with this, I'm taking it, but are they just being protectionist, or should countries be treating their own waste domestically?
I don't agree. You won't be surprised to hear me say that, but I think it should be seen as like a Europe-wide market of equipment or of capacity. It doesn't really make any sense to me if you have capacity in countries that are in the Nordics or in North Europe, why you wouldn't just continue to export. We're quite a global world and the logistics is there. I don't know why you wouldn't look at it as one pool of capacity that we're trying to feed with the waste supply that we have. The other side of it, which doesn't come into the conversation too much, is also the efficiency. If you think about the efficiency of the Nordic facilities that have heat and power offtake, that's a really good use of your waste as a resource. If you're just going into facilities that just do power, there's quite a lot of wasted energy, a lot of wasted heat. I know a lot of UK plants have heat and power as well, but I think it should be seen as one dock of capacity. It should therefore be an open market. I don't see the logic behind banning exports.
the UK's still got a long way to go in heat offtake from energy from waste plants, doesn't it? You've mentioned Germany earlier, levelling out, but Germany obviously has a tax coming in on energy recovery next year. Norway also has a CO2 tax coming in. Is this going to change how waste is moved around Europe?
It'll definitely have an impact. It depends on what the alternatives are and how much of that tax is passed on to the supplier. In the case of Germany, it was quite interesting. A couple of years ago, before COVID, it was exporting quite a lot. We have a German office, and that was focused pretty much on exports. Then it changed around. They had less waste, and then there was a big need for them to import. Then you have the tax in the background. Now, some facilities would consider the tax as part of their gate fee that you would agree. Now, in those cases, if that combined price works, then it doesn't necessarily stop the import. But it's inevitably a cost that the facilities have to take. And it's getting to such a level now that all of your gate fee, or maybe not even all of your gate fee, maybe there's still a deficit of what we're paying, is actually covering the tax. And then it gets interesting when you talk about the TV derived from fossil fuel content compared to it being against biomass content and the percentages of that. And the mechanics of how you do a calculation that passes that through is very complicated, so I don't know how they would do that. But it will come down to their need, the price of RDF in the market, and into which market it travels to and from.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned the biogenic content, because I think the German tax works on the mix of biogenic and fossil fuel in the RDF. Have you got a system for working that out yet, or are you just hoping the German government makes sense when it puts it in place?
We've had this conversation with most offtake countries, which has a tax that is linked to the CO2 or the biogenic content. The problem is there's no one method of measuring exactly what that biogenic content is. In a very rudimentary way, you could just do a composition analysis and then you pick in the plastic against the wood as an example. But that doesn't necessarily account for all of that biogenic content or all of the fossil fuel derived content. And we've done some work doing some tests in order to assess the carbon content by biomass, which is like the full sample is like more of a chemical test. But the problem is there isn't one way that is accepted. You ultimately will need to agree that with the regulator, which hasn't yet been done. And a lot of the regulators are using a average from like 10 years ago. So there's a long way to go, but it's a sign there's more of it to come. And if we do go down that road, it's a sign we're going in the right direction, because ultimately you want to be taking more plastics out of your fuel and, you know, using it for other things and burning less of it.
I agree with you. I think that's the way it's going. The plastic isn't going to be in the feedstock potentially some point in the future. It's going to stop, isn't it? Let's look back at the UK. I suppose this year, for a UK waste exporter, the biggest problem you've probably faced is transfrontier shipments of waste notifications and the delays in them from the EA. I think we've seen the end of the delays problem at the moment, but is this going to come up again next year or anything else?
Possibly. They're under pressure, the Environment Agency, with the resource that they have and have had. There's good signs of late. They've built the teams back up and they're in a position to process within the timeframes that they indicate, and that's very good. The problem for us, because we do a lot of TFSs, as you can imagine, it's the consistency around what information you should provide per TFS. They have talked about having a template in which you can provide information that they require as part of the application, which is a good idea. If that can be brought into place and then issued, then it gives us a bit more of a steer. But what we tend to have to do is, application by application, provide different information depending on what the officer is requesting at the time. And, you know, perfectly legitimate reasons for what they're requesting, and we provide the information, but we could provide all of that up front so it's there, and we know that we then know that we're providing what they require to process the application. So a bit of consistency would be good, or a template for us to work to would be good. So I hope they continue doing that. And it's only one part of what is quite a complicated process. We have to do the same with every regulating authority that we're making an application for. So we might get it processed and transmitted from the EA, but then Sweden might have some other questions that suits their requirements, and Denmark might need it to be presented in a different way. So it's, yeah, any way of simplifying would be good. You know, we have all the information, we want it to be done as quickly as possible. It's critical to our business. Yeah, I'd just encourage a bit of consistency around what they require per application, and we'll provide it.
I did hear Sweden apparently had a record year for imports this year, so that must have been tricky for them. So as you mentioned earlier, you've opened your whole base facility this year. What are the plans for that site going forward?
Yeah, so at the moment we're processing all of the whole city council waste through that facility. It was always designed as part of our contract with them that we would build a facility. Initially, it was planned that we would supply Energy Works Hull, which is the facility in Hull. They're still in commissioning. It is making steps. I think we've developed the facility in order to prioritise export through that site. So initially, that'll be the service that we're providing as part of that contract. But in the future, we will look to target more plastics from that material, and that then links to our wider strategy of trying to decarbonize the RDF that we're producing. And having this contract in this facility gives us the opportunity to do that ourselves. It will link through then to different chemical recyclers or mechanical recyclers of those plastics. So we want to develop the facility so that we can get more plastics out of the waste and reduce the amount that we have to send for RDF. It's always difficult in the first year to get established and get a rhythm, but the site's working well now. And where necessary, we would look to bring more tonnage in if we have that requirement. It just depends on how we phase the plastic extraction in the future.
And obviously, Geminal has a link with, had a link with Quantafuel, which is now part of the Viridor empire. You mentioned the plastic recycling and the chemical recycling elements of that. Is that perhaps something that might be some growth in 2024?
We have a contract into Renew, which is in Wilton. That should be commissioned next year. So that'll probably be the first plastics to chemical plant that we apply as a UK business. Regards Quantafuel now, Viridor, yes, we have a company set up called Pollinate, which is like a 50-50 split with Geminor and Viridor, and that's been developed in order to support the supply of Resource Denmark, which is a facility in Esbjerg. Hopefully there's opportunity in the future for us to supply other plastics chemical plants. I think there's still a long way to go in terms of proving the technology, but as a solution for a film or a contaminated plastic film, that it really is the best solution. It's very hard to mechanically recycle a film without a lot of processing and a lot of cost.
It's impossible, isn't it? Like,
could say that. So we really need the solution. We want it to work. There's a few different technologies out there. Quantafuel have made great steps and will continue to, I'm sure, under Viridor. We hope Renew comes online as quickly as possible. We also expect there will be some teething issues. It's new technology. They need to understand the feedstock and how it works and what yield they get from it. But ideally in the future, and I'm an optimist, you would have a mix of plastics to chemical recyclers and mechanical recyclers, and then you have more outlets for what can be quite difficult plastic fractions to move, especially from the residual waste stream. That's really our focus, from the residual waste stream, where there's a lot that isn't yet realised. Well, not realised, but it doesn't necessarily have an outlet for that's being included in the RDF.
Going back to a policy sort of thing here, could we talk about moratoriums on new EFW capacity? There's obviously one in action in Wales and one in action in Scotland, but one of your UK contracts see you take Welsh waste to England for energy recovery. That could indicate that Wales doesn't have enough capacity itself, does it?
Well, I think the moratorium came in and there was maybe another two that were planned to be in build, I understand, and in that case would support the moratorium in Wales. It doesn't necessarily make sense in terms of proximity that we do move material from South Wales into England. That was the best solution at the time for that contract, and it might look different again in the future. There is a cluster of facilities in the Cardiff area, but there is also quite a lot of waste arisings as well. So it's just about where the surplus and deficit is for supply and recovery. Where they have brought in moratoriums, I would support that. It may even be a good thing to do that in the rest of the UK, because there's a lot of plants that are in application or in build or close to starting to be built. And it's hard to really square the circle around what capacity we need, what supply is available, whilst also having in the back of your mind the fact that there is a lot of already built, well-established, efficient facilities in the Nordics or Northern Europe, you know, that we can use as part of our recovery mix as a country, as a nation. No, I support the moratoriums. I think they're a good idea.
The Scottish moratorium seems to get support from other guests, and I think only UK Wind have probably called for a England-wide moratorium. But it makes sense to me, because obviously, perhaps playing devil's advocate a bit, if people can't build any more capacity and waste arisings go up, the only method is to export them. So it is good for you, I would say.
It depends what forecast and what analysis you look at. Waste arising should be going down. If we actually increase our recycling levels, then waste arising should go down. There's a lot of other mechanisms that are coming into place around biogenic content and plastic content and the amount you need to recycle. And all public tenders now have, you know, a requirement for percentage of recycling. You know, that's all going in the right direction. That's what should be happening. Even with population growth, as a small country, we do have a large population. I don't think we should be building capacity for future waste. We should be looking for other solutions and using the asset stock that we have across Europe and Scandinavia as it's there.
You said it should be happening that UK waste should fall, but really realistic, do you think it will?
It comes back to the success of these plastics to chemical facilities, because they are needed, I think, as part of the mix of offtake for non-residual fractions. From a commercial point of view, it's very difficult to try and achieve a certain recycling rate if the commercial drivers aren't there. It's definitely very important to local authorities in the tenders that they put out. And I think it's just a matter of time, really, that we get the infrastructure that we need to do more recycling. And we have other drivers to push us to do that, with also new technologies coming online. Yeah, it's taken perhaps a bit longer than a lot of people would have wanted, but I think it's coming.
Yeah, it's certainly taken longer than people expected, I think. I suppose the other thing in 2024 is there's probably going to be a general election and there's probably going to be a change of political party. Do you think that might put some more emphasis on the waste sector, or do you think they'll have other priorities?
I think they'll have other priorities, to be honest. It tends to be sort of left to its own devices to an extent. If you look at the landfill directive, the tax mechanism for that, that was been a successful mechanism for pushing material out of landfill. But there haven't been that many initiatives that have really made a change like that and inspired investment or created investment in other technologies. Yeah, I'd have to say that's probably not going to have too much of an impact.
Well, you never know. We'll talk again at some point, hopefully, and we'll see in a year or so if it has changed. And that does bring me on to the final question I ask everyone on the burning issue. What's the question I should have asked you, and how would you have answered it?
Well, you sort of asked me about exports and do they have a future. That's ultimately the question that I always have in my mind when I get up in the morning and look at future strategy. I think export is an important part of our mix to deal with residual waste. It's well established. It's quite a mature market now. If there is the need from the Nordic and North Europe facilities for supply, they have the ability to reduce the price and outcompete UK offtakers. I think that's an issue with the UK offtake model, but also it means that it's always going to be there as an option in the future if there's a need on the receiver side or the supplier side. So I think it does have a future, although probably a little bit less tonnage than we're moving today.
It's a good way to end it. I think there is a future in waste exports. It might be a bit smaller, like you say, but post-Brexit, the problem is with the UK doesn't see itself as part of the EU, well, it isn't part of the EU anymore, but we should still see ourselves as part of a global market, shouldn't we? And hopefully we will going forward.
We're going to have to work in line with a lot of European policies, I think, in order to trade with them. I think that'll go across all sectors. We can't not work in line with European policies, although it may not be written down in that way in UK law. But there'll be a need for us to continue to do that, and hopefully we will.
I hope so too. Oliver, thank you so much for joining me today.
Okay, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All that remains for me to say is thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe and share the podcast with your networks, both online and offline. It really does help and it really is appreciated. Please also check out my day job at enswasteandbioenergy.com for the latest news on the EFW and bioenergy sectors, and sign up for a subscription if you want to. Thank you again and goodbye.